ends.
No, I mean it ends there.
Yeah.
I think so.
Doesn't
it end there?
No, it shows the floodwaters after that.
That's right at the same time.
Yeah. We saw three of them that time. We saw one with you and Baba at the trust, though. You and Baba? At the trust? Where were you at? You were here at Marathon. Amazing, our memorable Marathon?
No. Oh, film. You mean here in this?
And the film was taken here, yeah.
Ah. That must be the not at the trust office.
No.
We saw the film.
Marathon.
Yeah. They showed the film. Baba kissed your hand, didn't you?
Yeah, it's so sweet. Yeah.
I didn't remember that.
Late 60s, Baba and you, they were sitting out by the garden.
Oh.
And Baba called you close.
You could see it again. And you have seen Baba with Mustard
Baba.
Yeah, that
was
the
dog. Yeah. Yeah. Same
thing. That's Mustard
and
Baba.
He was beautiful, I thought.
Mm. Baba had brought Mustang's mother, as you would call, that little puppy, from the Himalayas.
Right.
We followed Baba up the Himalayas. No, then put up the hill. It was high, but some hills are not very high, some are high. Just in a range of. So Baba was going up there for the musk work, and Baba wanted to contact this musk. And so he, was climbing up there, but there was a valley. And in the valley, he saw this lovely pup, and Baba liked it so much that he asked the owner, "Will you give me that pup like that?" And Baba said, "Yes, I like it like that. Will you give it to me?" He said, "Please." And then when Baba went up the hill, and then the puppy followed Baba up the hill. And when it was a very dangerous part, they started calling down. Baba picked it up, very lightly, and Baba liked the puppy so very, very, very hot. I mean, he was a very good puppy, Baba brought it here and gave it to Papa.
So was that was the Mustang's
mother? Yes, she was that type. Yeah.
So did they get another dog of the same pure?
No,
breed? No.
Alsatian, and he was that type. And Mustang was tall, big dog.
But what was
and Baba loved him. Baba said, "He's my son, my Mustang." He so he loved Mustang so much that even that. Tribute Baba gave me my Dikro means the son, is my son. But so much love, can you imagine? Jai Baba is that.
But who was Mustang's father? The same type of dog, Alsatian?
Father was in Ahmednagar.
Mm-hmm.
Ahmednagar. And there, Baba would ask, I had to take Baba's permission. How would you say? I don't know how to say it.
To read it?
Read, yes. So Bhuti was taken to Ahmednagar because of the beautiful Alsatian. So Bhuti must have a good pair machine. So the Alsatian was beautiful and was taken to Ahmednagar.
Mm-hmm.
And then Baba, by Baba's wish, it happened. They were, how many, 4 male dogs in my village. But, then they were born. Masan was one of them, and Baba told Kaka that. When Baba was in Pune that time, after second accident.
Mm-hmm.
That time Baba was in Pune and we were with Baba together. And Baba said, "Bring little Mustang." So Kaka brought Mustang on his lap.
Mm-hmm.
And Baba was sitting on the bed like this. And Baba took Mustang and cuddled him and played with him. And so much love, Baba.
Yeah, he was beautiful.
But Baba then gave, and then Baba told us to keep Mustang for a while. We kept him, and then, we were working, doing our work, looking after Baba, and back and forth. And we remember, we must feed little Mustang. Baba hadn't given the name then, but Baba, we said, "Now, where's Mustang? Where's the puppy?" So we looked high and low, we couldn't find him. And we were, "Why, it's got lost, what should we do? It must have strayed away, it's in no place, maybe we didn't like it and all that." No, when we saw under the, what do you call it, sofa? hiding under the sofa. And so he brought it out and pulled it and then fed it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it played. It was playing all the time, but it was not very energetic.
Mm-hmm.
Mani threw a ball, but it wouldn't run up the ball. It was so funny. And then it was, how do you say? He was not very energetic. You know, his father was energetic, he was not energetic as a puppy. But later on, he was.
Mm-hmm.
But as a puppy, he was going to go and sleep in a corner somewhere. He was not lovely at all. But Baba loved it so much. But it is Mustang's luck to be, have been Baba's pet, and Baba patted it and fed him with his own hands. And one day Baba said, he's so fortunate, this one is fortunate. He's so fortunate that I feed him every day. This means every day. And he used to my hand, and Mustang was never a tree to go and mix with other dogs. Always, always. A real bachelor, you call him. I don't know what you say. So, Baba said one day that I love Mustang, he used to my hand, and he is living this kind of life, and Mustang was quite happy with that. So, Baba says, I will see that when he is born, this means I will see. When he is born, I will take a man's, this means a man.
Mustang.
Yes, a man's form means a human form. And Baba did this.
I always wondered that, like even when the Avatar is on the earth and stuff, and I wonder, like animals that fight, that just happen to be, but when Baba is in being as a man, everything, even insects that touch him and stuff, get that boost from him, because being a man and being on earth, he comes in contact with all of them, so it just pushes, he gives so much, even just, the life touch would be a boost, right? To give a push and stuff.
Must be, yes, it does. He's doing push it all creation, each one, that's why you all young ones come to Baba, because Baba's friends love to be, respect your heart. And Baba said, one day you will see my lovers. He told us in his bedroom here in Marazat that you were sitting around with us and you were, it means my, this means love. You will all see my lovers. This means see, Lord, and you all will see my lovers. Then he said, it means a little sweet face. feeling. And so sweet, smile and feeling of the. And then after a second, I was like, jewels, like gems. So we see that Baba's word has come true.
I know about the gems.
Then you all have gems. Gems in Baba's crown.
Yeah, right.
In Baba's crown of glory, isn't that so?
If he says so, it must be so. There's this one here named Jim, and I said, oh, Baba must have meant Jims. All his Jims were
Jim. There's no name starting G, is it? No. There is a precious story, shining diamond, pearl, according to the love. So, his words come true.
We met some Christians who came to the hotel. They were Jesus, but they loved Jesus, but they didn't believe.
It was said. It was said. Mm-hmm. I don't remember yet. Baba used to say many things when he was talking, but that time he was so young, we listened, and then he walked out of the work, and then years passed by, and they had forgotten certain things about it. But certain things Baba did say about a wall, such a wall which we called nice. So that time he was great to the spirit of suffering. It did happen. In Peta, the earthquake, you have no idea. Flat. And Kuita said beautiful buildings and beautiful shops and corner stores and barracks and the main road and all that beautiful road, everything very beautiful. It was black. And then Baba even told her father, Baba's father, to leave Kuita. You know about that? Yes, we don't talk on that.
I didn't hear it.
Yes, Baba told them to leave Kuita, and they did not want to leave because they had very good business there. Mm-hmm. And after Baba left, telling them, after Baba left Peta, after some time, then they got this earthquake, tremors, and so on, and they still did not leave the house. It was a slight tremor, it's okay now. But then it became rather serious, and so they had to go and live in a Irani orchard. Peta has many fruit trees and all that. So there are people who do this business of giving orchards and fruit and send parcels to other places. So then they finish. But I don't know for the story. This I know that some old man came and Harshad Banu,
In a dream?
In a dream. And then told him, deep better. He said something in what the words, I don't know.
Because we want to destroy the city or something. We are waiting for you to go.
Something he said that he said, I don't know, that's why I can't tell you. But the old man said something, and so Kosha see Baba's warning us.
Mm-hmm.
And Baba told them that year,
yeah,
they sold it, they would have been rich people.
Yeah.
But you have no idea. They could not get any money for their, what do you call it, for the shop would have been is a very expensive one. It's so expensive that then we got some lakhs of rupees, maybe 2 lakhs of rupees. But they did not take him Baba's money. And they stayed there. But after that, then they came running. And then,
did you want to walk through the garden today? Some cave?
What?
Did you want to go back to the garden today?
If some garden here or that?
Back garden.
Near the papaya something?
Mm-hmm. Did you want to walk today?
I feel like it? Yes. But there's one complication.
What's that?
You want us to be in the sun and then...
No, I don't. I know.
Is it all right without the sun?
Yes. This has a light thing. It's okay. Because here's not the sun. It's okay.
Then I'll show you. In the place where... Near the papaya village, that's a bit of...
Some shade. It's nice.
What is it called?
Jawari?
Jawari, no. The wheat field. Wheat field.
Yeah. Right here.
If you're standing here on the sun, with the, what do you call it, moons and all that, then you have to put the leg here.
Go ahead, walk. That's my
girl. Then you like it, this
yeah.
This view.
It's fine. But
this way, I have the banana leaves.
You stand wherever you want, and I'll stand to get
what about with the...
Is that good?
Look at that.
And this green with the
yellow.
Veggies.
You must,
Fanny,
like
means
oasis.
To take
really
this,
oh, you should go
and
look at this barn. You can see everything is growing. There's this little oasis down here. Like Baba's oasis.
So come on in the shade.
You have to go in the shade. We have to be in the sun?
No, you in the sun. You in the shade.
But then how can you take Baba's leg? You have taken it?
I will take. I'll turn the camera.
You'll be standing there, no?
Oh, yeah.
We want it to be like this or not.
No, but I have
I want it to be casual.
Don't stand on the beach. And when you say ready, I'll take off the hat.
Well, I think...
Come on, Eva. But you have the sun on a back.
I know.
Not on the faces.
It's not good.
Not good, no.
You come over in the shade.
All right. You see and don't step on the beach.
Okay. Come on, baby. You are in the shade.
Oh. Yeah, we understand. Now what do we do?
Now you tell them about the report. Ah, they've all gone.
This is one break. They're all the time in the night. Look, it's your day and your age. You'll be in the sun.
Oh, that's great.
But you will be in the sun.
No, I'll be right here. I can stand here. Let
it? Then you get then let us walk towards you. Walk towards you. That's how would you like? Because I can see the view is not so distinct, but we will come in the way.
You can stand and explain to them about the plants and I will take this. Well, Rita and Mark will ask questions.
Wow. It fell.
What just dropped over here?
What has dropped?
A papaya just dropped.
Yes, I knew it before. That's why I didn't want to pull the leaves off. Never mind. That Jack will take home now. Jack was very fond of papaya. David, you better help
me. All right. Come on. Boy, this sure is comfortable.
You like it?
These are the orange leaves. These are orange leaves. See, can you see the right ones also there?
Yeah, that's
And also this is lemon trees. Also. Yeah. Baba liked it very much, you know, because they are very sweet trees. Is it all right?
Yes. Okay.
That's enough, I think. They also calling the Parasabha's father and son.
The evening
we cook
was fine, very light. 2 hours before sunset.
What happens is, right now, at this time of day, on this patio here, there's enough light. But that time, there's not enough light to take these pictures. That's in the afternoon, 4:35.
Here, there's not enough light?
On the patio, there's not. But now there is.
Here is not. But
Baba's
hill, to say Baba's hill.
Yes.
And the fruit tree, and what do you call it, the corn. What is it called? Wheat? Wheat growing. So then you have to pan, you have to show the wheat, there is wheat here, and then they're standing there.
I have an idea.
It's a very technical thing.
I should let you take
the picture. I would not be. I would like to look. You know, but you have to make that thing
interesting
in such a way that some people train all the time on the people.
Yes.
But then for me, when you show the scene, this is the scene where they're standing.
Right.
It's very interesting. Again, you have to show the people. Like that foreground, background, and all that. But Baba also, I'm a show guy now.
Yeah, director. You're the director.
No, I have to tell Mani to tell Jal, because Jal is not that type. He's not artistic at all. But he had the camera and he could take Baba's pictures, you know, so he follow Baba and everything, right? But also, you know, so that I told Mani that to see that Baba is, the background is nice, beautiful, then they also. Interesting shots, you know what I mean to say that way. Yeah. Mani used to tell him. But Behram, when he got the camera, you know, after Jal, Baba gave it to Behram. And then Behram did a very good job. All these by the Bun Garden other places, Behram used to take it.
Yeah.
But Baba, you know, very difficult Baba. Just 2 minutes of Baba said no. Very difficult Baba. We used to coax Baba, just Baba another 30 minutes, he said, please walk. And can you imagine Baba uncomfortable, Baba to limp and walk to please us.
Yeah.
And before that, there was no movie camera. I mean,
in the old days.
Yes, in the old days, when there should have been a movie camera. Someone said, why did you take down Baba's voice? But I said, no tape recorder even was invented in those days. How can we? Yes, see, this is very lovely. If you put your hand down and take yellow flowers and this pink flowers and the red. What is it? You have to bend down a little? Or just like that? You have to put your...
No, this one, see, you can go close
zoom,
up.
Zoom lens.
Zoom lens.
She knows all the terms.
She's the director.
Well, there are many cameramen have been here now.
So you should by now.
Camera. Men or camera. I wouldn't call it. It's Baba lovers with cameras. Very happy to meet you.
Don't touch.
Can you
see the
board together?
Yes.
It's fine work.
I think it's
inlaid.
Yeah.
Yes. It's very fine. And that's incense. What is the other thing?
No, it's not sweet.
Is that sweet? Is that sweet?
Yes.
Yes.
I look like incense for a minute.
It was so beautiful. It's packed.
You get good strong muscles, yeah.
Don't trip.
That's it. Papaya is very precious. A new life, I was talking about eating and being hungry. New life is that walking with Baba. Baba would walk
a little distance away from us with the mandali, one of the men, because Baba can talk. He's on sand. Yeah. So one mandali, one of the men, have to be with Baba. Yeah. And they talk. Yes, yeah. With Baba. In that distance, where the wall is, where the mandali's house is, that far, even a little bit further, because we walk past and we go, we try to keep it from all that. And you know what we should do? We picked up little sticks from under the tree, you know. So the farmer's wife, she saw us picking up sticks, she looked around at us, very, she wondered what we are. One like us to pick up little sticks, but we had to have wood to warm, heat Baba's water in the morning, you know. So we didn't care who will tell us and who will ask, whatever happened, what must happen. Enough wood fire to heat the water for Baba the next morning. Now, what happened was this, I think, Monday, Baba would get up very early, upper 3, 4 to 4, sometimes 4, not and it was so bitterly cold, you have no idea. We were going towards north, and north is Dehradun, and Dehradun, you see the foothills of the Himalayas, and Himalayas is covered with snow. The hills are snow, what do you call it, snow caps. Mm-hmm. You know, yes, it's so cold. So when you're going towards north, and it's so cold and high up the hills, but they didn't see the hills, but it was very cold. I told Baba, you know, the house is so, feeling so cold like this, you know. Baba says, if we are going north, that's why. I said, oh, Baba, it will be very cold and you're going up north. No wonder you're not getting any warmer, you know. And we're walking one day and then we're feeling very hungry. But Baba was walking that far. And when Baba was walking that far, he did not hear what we were saying. And anyway, some of us said in their own mind that I'm very hungry, I wish I should have something to eat, and we are feeling so cold. And so we were whispering, and some of us were not even saying anything, the two of them whispered. And so far away, Baba, so far away, Baba didn't hear. But after a minute or so, Baba turned back and came towards us and said, are you feeling hungry? And he said, I said, yes, Baba. I said, all right, wait. Then he called the ears. He said, see, see, do you see that hut there? You get bhiksha from that hut. So it was, the hut was far away. And the ears went to ask bhiksha, and what do you think that woman was? Very fortunate. She was making fresh food on the fire, you know, cooking for her family, and bread, Indian bread, you know, big bread in it on hand. So one was, she had put on the, and it was cooked. But then, when Ayla said, I want bhiksha, the Hindus, they don't ask questions, they must give bhiksha, because in their, what do you call it? In their religion,
tradition,
it is that, even if it's a, it looks like a false sadhu. You know, sadhus always ask for bhiksha. So even if any sadhu who comes to your house, you must give him food. Because in that garb, in that garb, in that dress, we don't know the real one may have you. It might be the real one who will come to your house. You know? The real sadhu or the perfect one, who knows? Because Gautam Buddha asked for bhiksha when he... So it is big and strong. He went and asked for bhiksha. So this woman was so kind and gentle. Oh yes, I've made one bread, this chapati. I want to make another one and give you two and I'll cook the vegetable. It just made 5 minutes. So Ilish waited 5 minutes. She cooked the second bread also, the chapati. And she put, you know what, spinach she had cooked. That was nice hot spinach on the chapati. The chapati and the other chapati on the top, and she gave the bread. So how fortunate she was. She was actually giving it to Baba. So then that is what I want to tell you, that some have a really, what we say, then the real thing also is time of Baba, what we call new lifetime. So, and some, you know, some places when Mandi went to ask bhiksha, they will feel rather like this, you know, because it was cold, so they had to wear all warm clothes. And Kaka was a bit, well built, you know, it's around that, and he wore all his warm clothes, he was feeling very cold. And on the top, he has to wear this new life robe, what do you call it? Kafni. So the white kafni when he came over all the other clothes, by that time he looked very big. And Dr. Milo, he was well built also. He was wearing all his warm things, and on the top, he must have kafni. So they both made. And they went to ask this. And this woman said, what?
you know, both looking like wrestlers. Why don't you go and work for your living? And so that woman, because she used her head, I mean, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. She should have not, I mean, she should have finished on the spur of the moment because she was actually giving to Baba. But this thought came in her mind and she did not give the bhiksha, so she
lost that chance,
good opportunity. So some got this good opportunity, and how do you say, I don't know what to say, they're fortunate. And some did not give the bhiksha. But one day, when not a bhiksha was given, you know, nice, you know, when he picks up food, Baba always wanted to be an orchard, so he's walking, walking, 10 miles, 15 miles, and Baba says, please, the orchard. And then that orchard, you know, mango orchard was sighted, and then they asked if there a well there because we must have water also. Then we would camp there, and Kaka would cook for us plain golden rice. And after
we needed a fire to play. So, but then, not knowing how precious it was in the beginning, what happened? We had a matchbox and we begged for it. Because nothing was possessed. We had to beg for a matchbox, beg for food, beg for things that are essential and needed. So, we had begged for a matchbox. Unfortunately, it was kept like that in the pocket as usual, not knowing the worth of it. And we were sleeping in the open and with the dew, it got moist and we couldn't light it. So then there was some chaos. Then we had to go in for a med box, beg for it another time, which we got into great difficulty. So we realized how very precious it was. So with the med box, when we have such a gadget like a med box, where we can sip anything to fire, what about the ancient times when there was no med box? Then there was the arch, you see how the restriction they used to light. But prior to that, when it was so precious, you see, when they had ready-made fire to lighten it, and they preserved. So man in the ancient times knew the art of preserving fire. And fire was considered to be one of the greatest companions, because not only it kept the wild beasts, you see, from them, because of the light and the glow, even a tiger, you see, if you have a flashlight, you can shock a tiger coming to you. That's a more here in India, any light. In South India, you know, you have these coconut palm stem, leaf there. And the beauty of it is that it just blows. And when you shake it, it just bursts into flame. So these people, when they go through the forest areas where the wild beasts are there, we have been taking it, we know it. So we just keep it like that, it just blows and doesn't harm anybody else. But when you find there is danger around, you just shake it and it bursts into flame. Mm-hmm. So with the fire, you see the danger. So likewise, this fire being a companion. So man needed fire as a companion. And also a safeguard against wild beasts. The man needed fire as a safeguard against all these bugs, the mosquitoes and other insects were there in the forest area where man was left to himself all alone. He had renounced the world. So the smoke that came out, you see, kept the air clear of these insects. So that was helpful also. So eventually, fire was supposed to be something so precious and close to the person who had renounced the world. So it became a symbol. So anyway, now, even this day, let alone the ancient times in India, even this day if you go to parts in India where you find so many who have renounced the world and have made their habitations, the symbol there, if there is a smoke coming out, oh, there must be somebody here who has a hut there, a mendicant there, or a hermit over there, whatever the name you call it, a sadhu there, or something. Apart from all that, they used to renounce the world to such a degree that they didn't even care for clothes. So what happened? The ashes were their clothes. They would smear the ash, you see, on the body, and that closed the pores, and that protected them from the cold breeze, you see. Biting cold when they were open. So the ash protected the body, the flame on the fire, you see, was companionship. It kept away the beasts, wild beasts and all that. The smoke protected them against insects and all that. And with the fire, they could do something, have hot water, or they can cook something, do everything. And moreover, they could smoke too. Chillum, as they called, you know, the tobacco pipe. So, that is the story of become parents of fire. And then fire is so ancient that even Zoroastrians are supposed to be associated with fire. See, fire worshippers they are called. But then, well, whether they are fire worshippers or what type of fire, that's a different type, you see. Only Baba, if it drew our attention, that fire is the fire, the burning within us, the fire of great love for the Lord. That is the fire. We worship that love, which burns within us for union with Him, to find Him, seek Him and all that. So Zoroastrians are the fire worshippers. And the symbol that Zoroastrians gave was fire, no doubt. Outward symbol. So we kept companionship of the fire. I am talking about some 10,000 years ago, or 8,000 years ago, whatever the history records about the advent of Zoroaster. But then this fire was the symbol, the ancient symbol of Zoroastrians is fire. Every Zoroastrian home has a fire lit for 24 hours. And there is a good way of protecting the fire. What they do is they cover it with the ash. And fire continues to glow. Just remains dormant. In the morning, they just rake the fire, that hearth there, and the glowing, what do you call, coal
embers.
Or whatever is there, huh?
Embers.
Embers are there, and then they blow, and there's the flame there. So they can start the hearth again, the kitchen department will start functioning, and when it's no use, then they cover it with ash and keep the fire. So that ancient tradition still continues in the homes of the Orthodox Zoroastrians. But now, because with the advent of match boxes and match sticks and all sorts of things, you see, there's even electric lighters are there, you see, nowadays. So there's no need. But then still the tradition is there. Who knows, we might need it again. Just as we find, you see, in the letters from the Sufis that we receive now, with all the power cuts and all the emergencies that arise, they don't know how to grow vegetables in their own courtyard. They don't know how to light lamps, you see, something like that. And we sometimes read in the letters, you see, something so fundamental and so common here in India, lessons and study classes are open there to give them something. So, well, that's all that apart. This is the history of fire, you see. And what happened, it became a symbol for a person who had renounced the world. So wherever you go in India or in Eastern countries, you find fire is there, and that fire is known as dhuni. Why it has come to be known as dhuni, I don't know, the Sanskrit scholar might be able to tell you. Why? You don't know. I don't know too. But somehow or other, you see, now that many people have been asking us, you see, as to why is it known as dhuni, I don't know why it is. Doom is there, you see, there's a word there. Or it might be because it exudes smoke or something like that. Or it makes one concentrate upon something, you see. It has some correlation with concentration and meditation. I mean, whatever it is.
It reminds me, they may be having dhoom, Ram dhoom or anything dhoom. Dhoom means repetition of the name of God.
Yeah. But
and
then
the masters who generally lit the fire. Mm-hmm. They may be having just this dhoom. That may be the place where they used to recite the name of let me now
repeat the name and get lost in it. Might be. From there dhoom is the word and from there it is dhuni. Might have been. But now, you want to know why this dhuni, why the dhuni of Mehrabad is there. This is the history of dhuni. But Baba was no aspirant, he was no mendicant, he was not, that he didn't mean that he needed dhuni. He had many close companions, you see. He was the God-man, so why was it necessary for him to have a dhuni? It is the status symbol, you see, of a renunciator to have a fire in front of him. And dhuni is a very shallow pit dug, and a fire is lit all day and night, you see. And smoke comes out, and whenever he needs a flame or something like that, he puts in more fuel. That's all. And that is the dried twigs in there. But why did Baba have it? Baba didn't have anything. He didn't have any need for such a thing. And there is no need to have a dhuni else also. But then, it is said that in the year 1925, after the monsoon season, usually the monsoon season is from, the monsoon breaks here. You know what monsoon winds are? The winds that bring in rain in India. So, of course, that's common knowledge, geography is there. So, when the winds come here, you see, on 7th of June, am I right? 7th of June? That's the day when it's supposed to burst over the coast, western coast in Bombay. So, between 7th June and, say, June, July, August.
Is that the month of rain?
Yeah, monsoon season. So after that, of course, the monsoon is the season. So it is said in 1925, the monsoons were failing, you see, and in 1925 the monsoon had failed. and great distress amongst the farmers around you. And Baba was there at Manava. He was there. So people have come to know that some good and great man had come over there. But they knew him as somebody passing. And this, even then, you see, in the distress, they thought it best to approach him. And these villagers collected themselves in a group and came. A dindi came, means a group came singing and dancing, you see, in praise of the Lord, and approached the one who could, what do you call that word, you see, the one who intervened, what do you call that? Mm. Interceder, yeah, that's right.
Intercessor.
Intercessor, whatever the English word is, between God and man. So they thought that Baba would be a right medium for them. So they begged of him, and see, they came and said that, oh great one, please help us. We are starving for many years now. There is no monsoon, no rain, and our fields are all barren, and we have nothing. And even this monsoon has failed. And the last chance, the most last, is that we should have some showers so that we can have a secondary crop at least. Can you help us in that and all this? Baba heard them patiently and humorously and said, why do you come to me? Am I the one who can give? Says, yes, if you want, you can do it. They came with full faith and conviction. You can do it. That's the reason why we have come to you. Baba says, all right. Go back soon. You go away from here. So, well, they thought that Baba, under some pretext or guise, if you want, just was not serious about it. So they begged of him. They sang some bhajans and all that. But Baba assured them that you please go back soon. Otherwise, lest it may rain and drench you, you better go back soon. So somehow or other, the other closed ones also helped these villagers to go back. No sooner they left Mehrabad, Baba asked his close ones to dig a pit, where the pit is now. But now you have that pit, you see, built on a platform. There was no platform there. Formerly there was a platform on a shed also. A roof was there on that. But that was, of course, blown out, the strong wind had come and all that. We tried to rebuild it and rebuilt it again. Again it was blown out. And then we found that the government wouldn't permit because it's so close to the road that you have 100 feet to leave, you see, from the center of the road on either side. So we can't build anything over there. So we have to keep it open like that. So that platform is built. And that little fireplace is also built up there. But formerly there was no such thing as that. There was just a pit in the earth. A shallow pit. So Baba says, dig a pit there and bring some sandalwood, bring some butter or whatever you call it, you see, as a medium. Oil. Of course, Baba wouldn't want to use crude oil or kerosene oil or gas, you see, gasoline or something like that. But we would always light fire with something because fire was so close to humankind, you see, that we wouldn't want to defile it with something very crude. So we would like to use butter to help, clarified butter to help it glow, burn, you see. So we pour clarified butter over it and then we light lamp, you see, fire. Likewise, Baba collected all the material and says, come on, let's light the fire. So he lit the fire for the first time in 1925, sometime in the month of September. According to the memory, you see, of the elders who are around us, like Padri and Pendu and all who were there. Because at the, in 1925, I must be about 9 years old. I haven't even met Baba, according to my recollection, because in 1925, December, I met him. So, from the news that I gathered from Padri, it was in 1935, sometime in September, that this dhuni was lit. And it is said that after the dhuni was lit, Baba asked for the first time that Baba had created an aarti in praise of his master Upasamaya. So Baba told, and Baba had taught this aarti to his followers, the close ones at the time. So Baba asked them to sing the aarti. You should remember that now it is September 1925. On 10th of July, Baba had observed silence, remember that? So Baba must be in silence at the time. You follow that? So his close ones then started singing the aarti. And halfway through the aarti, it started drizzling. All of a sudden, it was bright sunlight. And then, before they could finish the aarti, they were fully drenched. So it is said that those who recollected that day, says, we were waiting when the aarti should finish so that we can go under shelter, you see. Likewise, those people who had come and they were returning to their villages there, they also got fully drenched on their way back to the different villages. So, this was how the dhuni started. And that was kept aglow for 24 hours, you see. Till such time, Baba and left the place with all the people, and nobody was there to attend. Then it cooled down. The Dhuni was no more there. And then all of a sudden, which year was that? 1954? One day he got another, in 1954, the godman gets a Dhuni. Well, let's go and light the Dhuni again. So he himself again tries to tell us, with us who live with the godman, we have no such importance with anything extraneous. Anything which is not the form or the presence of Baba is extraneous to us, those who live with him. So nothing mattered with him. Everything was absolutely insignificant. Although Dhuni, you see, in the Indian tradition and in spiritual law is considered to be something sacred and all that, for us there is no sanctity at all of that Dhuni, except Baba's presence there, except Baba lighting the fire. And then what is there? Although I am myself a good actor.